Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Let's go. I hope you listened to last week's show, because I think in the most concise way, coherent way I ever have, last week's show on stem cells was another attempt, I think maybe my finest attempt, to lay down a true holistic perception of what you're going to need to understand if you don't want to take the knife. In other words, that option to surgery assumes that your body has systems intact that you must ignite. Again, boldface print, you must ignite. You aren't going to heal unless you stress and initiate the healing. Initiate. Initiation is a matter of debate. In other words, what you have to do to ignite the stem cell systems out of the bone marrow, out of the sacrum, is up for grabs. Now, I think I'm giving you a coherent model. I know it works. I see it work all too seldom because people don't want to do it, because we're all looking for that quick fix. And I mean the herbal quick fix, the holistic quick fix. We're not talking about allopathic medicine. There's a synergy that you have to comprehend. That means you're on a journey, and that journey collectively ignites enough systems in the body. Specifically what? Cleaning the space in between the diseased cells. Cleaning that space. You're thinking liver cleanse and kidney cleanse and colon cleanse, and I'm not. Point of last week's show was to explain to you that long before you get to that space between your cells, the extracellular matrix, the space in between your damaged liver, your damaged brain, your damaged heart, your damaged kidney. Long before you get to the space in between those cells, you have to excrete through the kidneys and through the liver and through the skin and so on and so forth. And if that's not brought to crescendo, you won't get to that space. Now, after you get to that space between the cells, again, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com. I'm making reference to last week's show. I'm making reference to a real holistic model, an all-encompassing model that's got a real functional translation, meaning this isn't a rhetorical 1 hour. This is about how to understand it so you can act on it. Those stem cells that your body's got to deliver into those damaged tissues to make new tissue, those stem cells will become liver and kidney and spleen and brain on demand. But to initiate that process, you've got to bend the bone. Now, bending the bone means that body, as you see with the Taoist masters, the tantric masters, those who have mastered the yogas, the qigongs, the tai chis, the kung fus, the ancient dances, perhaps rituals and ways of existing long, long, long ago, in perhaps pre-recorded history, in perhaps times when our ecosystem on the planet was so sublime, so supreme, so pure, that you couldn't fail if you engaged. The point being that the traditions that are remaining suggest a time and a process through which those bones, after multiple purges, exorcisms in a sense, reconfigurations of the nervous system, purification processes, soften the bone to the point where the bone will deliver prolific amounts of an endless reserve of stem cells. And this is how science translates itself into the miracle of healing. Now, if you got a sense of that from last week's show, you're getting it. Question is, are you getting it? How do you translate that into today? And always we have the rationalistic mind condescending towards the intuitive faculty. We are a patriarchy. We are a bunch of rationalists. We are people who may play around with holistic medicine until you get really sick. And then you go running off like scared children to the local hospital and bow to the establishment. And that is what you do all too often. You play games with your capsules and your herbs until the point when you really and truly need the fundamentals of a holistic tradition, and then you're failed and you run to the hospital. And that's because you don't have enough of an understanding. So last week's show, listen to it again and understand that there is a process intact if you'll follow it. And all people from all places, from all countries, from all ages who claim the miracle of a healing that we see all too seldom, yes, but that claim independently, claim bodies do marvelous, miraculous healings, are engaged in this essential process. On some level, they have grasped enough of what I'm describing here to take them over the threshold. Whatever that point is in which the body will deliver those stem cells to the repair of diseased and damaged tissue, they ignite. This is what you have to bring into your soul. And you have to understand when you really need what I'm talking about. It is your rational, objective, Western-trained, pathetically limited mind. I don't mean it that to you. I mean the rationalist, patriarchal perception of how our bodies function needs to die. It needs to be integrated into higher systems. Now I'm going to fuse it together once again today over a relatively marginal topic, the skin. And I don't really mean marginal, but I do mean it's just a small piece of a big picture. So let's take a look at the skin. Detoxing through your skin, which we are not in the habit of doing or understanding. And yet, in the guts of science, there's massive justification. So in Medici's Better World, you're online at the yearly physical at Kaiser, my favorite place to be. And the doctor in Kaiser says to you, Mrs. Smith, do you sweat regularly? And has that sweat been assayed? Has it been measured? And let's take a look at those measurements of what's coming out in your sweat. And let's put it on a graph over 3 months, 6 months, and 9 months. And then in Medici's Better World, the doctor says, there's nothing coming out in your skin because you're not excreting through the skin. Or there are the most horrid, rancid poisons known to man coming out through your skin. Or you hit this level of excretion through the skin of gross carcinogenic poisons, and now we see that filtering off. We see it dropping in its concentration. What, Mrs. Smith, what must you have done to excrete so thoroughly? So in a better world, we would be assaying your sweat. Your sweat. We like to look in holistic medicine at the tongue and the eye We do all sorts of neat little tests, but we don't go to the sweat. And we don't go to the sweat because generally most of us don't work through labs that can assay what comes out in the sweat. Let me give you a sense today then of what you're missing, of what we're missing in holistic medicine, in science, because we're not going into the sweat. Now, where do I start? I've got some great punchlines for you today. Get to the website. I hope you're on the website. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc, two C's. Excuse me. Not, yes, .cc, not .com, and that's two T's. Go to picture number one. No, go to picture number two. Let's just start out with the basic anatomy. There's the skin if you've never taken a look at it. Most of us are concerned more than anything else with the skin as to the number of wrinkles in the skin. That, of course, is human nature, and we have to forgive ourselves for that. But nonetheless, the skin. The skin's an organ. Yes, even in grammar school, we learn that the skin is the largest organ of the body. That always goes on the multiple choice test in the fourth grade. We don't think of the skin as an organ. It is an organ. We think of the skin, unfortunately, as a non-porous wrapping around our body that keeps us contained. And yet, the skin is alive through the pores, through the follicles, through the sweat glands. And it's supposed to be breathing. Well, what do we mean by breathing? It excretes. So take a look here, this picture number two, and look at the sweat gland. Can't miss it. Big gray thing. Look at the hair follicle. Look at the sebaceous gland, that the oils that are so important to that nice, smooth, elastic, non-wrinkly, non-saggy matrix. Sebaceous gland secreting the oil, the hair follicle, the sweat gland. We're looking at the sweat gland. Also, look at the fat on the bottom of that picture. Picture number two, you're on straighttalk.cc. Show 220, 4 years of shows here. We'll be going into the fifth year next April. Look at that yellow fat on the bottom. That fat is key to understanding something about the skin. First of all, when your skin sags because you're losing weight or you're losing weight too fast, it's because all that fat that you're looking at is disappearing. And when it disappears, the exterior of the skin is stretched out when it was fattened up. And when that fat thins out, the elasticity of the skin is challenged after 30 or 40 or 50 years old. Just a little fun fact, since I know I can't discuss the skin without people thinking about the cosmetic aspect. The sweat. That sweat gland. That's what we're discussing today. Because out of that sweat gland, take a little ride over to picture four. We absorb more impurities and eliminate more waste through the skin than any other organ in the body. Did you get that? Why is all the emphasis on liver cleanses and kidney and colon? Look at that. We absorb more impurities and eliminate more waste through the skin than any other organ. How about 2 pounds? How about 2 pounds of waste per day through the skin? 2 pounds. The same stuff that your kidney pulls out of the blood and you urinate out is the same stuff that the skin excretes through the sweat glands. You can't talk skin and not talk about kidney. They're one organ. Thus, the notion the skin is the third kidney. But the skin in its own right, related to the kidney or not, is responsible for a vast amount of detoxification. And it, if it's not utilized, if it's not in order, if the system is not working optimally, meaning, do you sweat? People say all the time, I don't really sweat. That is not good. Just like sleep, you're sick, You don't sleep. When you sleep, you start to heal. Just like pH. When you're sick, you're acidic. As you start to heal, you're more alkaline. Just like bile. When you start and you're sick and your bile ducts are clogged, you don't really have a good time with these flushes. And then you begin to do them. And then they begin to come easy. And then you know you're in a healing process. Well, the skin. Skin's way up there. It's another indice that should be on the physical exam. Your self-administered physical exam. Your checklist. Throw that on the checklist. Am I sweating? Do I notice when I go to that yoga class, that spin class, when I walk up that hill, I don't sweat. I don't sweat well. That's a signal. It's something you have to take care of, because the skin is responsible for far more than we give it credit for. And that's the point. And for those of you with kidney duress, kidney failure, issues of the kidney, anything around kidney, and all the low-grade refluxes of kidney issue, meaning you don't have to have a sick kidney. You don't have to be online at a hospital to note that your gout has flared up, that the arthritis in your joints is screaming, that the tinnitus in your ear is worse, that your blood pressure is spiking and the blood pressure drugs don't work. Why? If you understand the kidney, and again, I did a couple of shows ago something on the kidney, so today's show is so in tandem to last show and the show before. So do them as a triad. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc. Get the subscription. Do yourself a favor. How you can't do that is beyond me. It's truly beyond me. I must be doing something wrong. Or somehow, it's not translating, even though it is. More. Get it. This skin controls the kidney, and the kidney controls many systems. And if the kidney is not diseased, it still has an optimal level of function. And the minute it dips below that optimal level of function, then your ears ring, and your joints ache, and your sex life suffers, and your skin suffers, and your blood pressure goes up, and your knees ache. And you're looking at the kidney when it's the skin, because you're not sweating. We're not even close to the punchline. This is just a little introduction. Let's get colorful. Take a look at picture number three. Take a look at picture number three. Beautiful eye there, right? Turquoise. It's like a blue-green. You see how it's dark around the circumference of the iris? The colored part of the eye, not the white, the colored part of the eye. That circumference is dark. That is called a scurf rim. S-C-U-R-F, a scurf rim. That rim, the thickness of that darkness around the circumference of the eye, picture number three, is a measure of how well your skin is eliminating its poisons. What poisons, they say. We're going to get to that. Called the scurf rim. Look at your own eye. Take a mirror, ladies, the thing you do the makeup thing with the light on it, even a magnifying glass so you can see those pores. Do that. Look into that. Look at your eye with the magnifying glass and look for the scurf rim. And if your skin is sagging and you don't like the zits and it's this, that, and the other thing, or it's wrinkly or whatever, or you couldn't care less about cosmetics and you're just into your health, take a look at your scurf rim. Let's go to the article on top. Just take a moment for the article on the top. Click to view the full article on the scurf rim of the eye. Blow that up. The eyes are the windows to the skin. Great. The eyes are the windows to the skin. Now just scroll down. Here's a little known fact. If you look very closely at the iris, you can actually gauge how well your skin is eliminating. Do you see a darker ring around the outermost edge? That's called the scurf rim. That's called a scurf mark, which isn't a disease, but a reflex sign of an overload of toxins at the level of the skin. A person with a scurf ring may have a weak thyroid, which would reduce the body's natural sweating and elimination through the skin, the body's third kidney, so on and so forth. Just a little fun fact for you. Just one of those little tips, like, do you have that sharp crease in your ear that's linked to heart disease? This is nonsense! What garbage is this? The scurf rim? The crease in the ear? That the full moon brings out the mania in people? Nonsense. Yeah. No, not nonsense. Good observational data to add in. Not scientific enough for you, perhaps. But you see, you've decided that the world, the patriarchy, is purely rationalistic, right? You believe in God, right? Yes, you believe in God. But at the same time, this is nonsense. Think about that. How many God-fearing people would say that a scurf rim is non-scientific? Look at that. Take a look at that. Take a look at how, on one hand, we attest to the presence of God, but on the other hand, the scurf rim is nonsense. So on one hand, we attest that the world is non-rational. We swear by that. And at the same time, the tenets of medicine that appear non-rational, those in the trenches, when we're really sick and we need them, they all go out the window. To hell with the scurf rim. You see, you have to think about these things. You know? I watch lots of people get sick. And you watch them spin in the darkness when the answers are right there on the tip of their nose. But in the end, they're far too rationalistic. You have to know things. So know this. Know that whether you're sick or not, if you're not sweating, we've got problems, because whether it's a reflex off the kidney or you simply just can't get the gunk out through the skin, it's a stress to the body you don't need. Now, I love to bring in the pinnacle of science. And here's a book. Go to page 6, picture number 6. Hyperthermia in oncology. I like to work that rationalistic side of my own mind. This is Clifford Pang, Hyperthermia in Oncology. Now, today's show is not about hyperthermia. Hyperthermia is a technique that oncologists, okay, with their heads on straight, will deploy as one of the great tools to minimize the spread of a cancer or to destroy a tumor. And understood by the naive, may I say idiots, understood or misunderstood by the naive idiots as a technique that promises to cure cancer, which it does not. Hyperthermia does not cure anything. It is another powerful tool. Now this guy here, Clifford Pang, Hyperthermia in Oncology, that's an ebook. It's $140. It's worth every dime of it. Go to picture 7, page 7, picture 7. Blow it up a little so you don't have to squint. Clifford Pang, MD, PhD. He's president of the Clifford Hospital in China. Of course, what do the Chinese know? Right? Only the Americans know things. MD, PhD. He's also been president of the International Clinical Hypothermia Society and chairman of the Special Committee of Natural Therapy on the World Federation of Chinese Medicine Societies. Pang has devoted almost a decade. Do you know, if you're a scientist today, you don't want to waste your time in America? This is the sad, sad plight. Right? Politically incorrect, right? To say it's a sad thing for the American scientist today. I could line up a lot of American scientists that would agree. If you've got any brains, you go to Taiwan, because the Taiwanese will pay you for your years of labor in a lab. If you know something, there's a lot of international money around for people who know things. And Pang is typical of that type of a scholar. And he writes this book on oncology, on hypothermia in oncology, noting that he's devoted a decade of theory and clinical practice on hypothermia for cancer treatments. And then, of course, he creates his integrative green therapy, combining hypothermia with chelation, ozone, traditional Chinese medicine. And, of course, if this man was in the United States, he'd be gone. But he gets away with it. And that's not today's story. Here's today's story. I've got a wonderful excerpt from his book, Hypothermia in Oncology. I love that kind of stuff. Hypothermia in Oncology. Go to picture number eight. This is just taken out of this part of his 500-page book or something. I've got it. Section 1326, effective hypothermia on elimination of intrinsic toxins. There are a large number of metabolites and harmful chemicals excreted through the skin, respiratory tract, urine, and stool. Over 500 types of metabolic wastes and harmful and toxic chemicals are excreted by the human body, over which 140 are excreted from the lungs, and about 180 are excreted through the skin. The latter of which includes carbon dioxide, ammonia, hydrogen sulfide, uric acid, urine toxins, bacteria, viruses, sugar, salt, potassium, calcium, denatured fat globules, necrotic bacteria, stale proteins, and so on and so forth. The skin is the largest part of the human body. Chinese doctors in ancient times realized that some illness could be discharged or removed through the skin. In recent times, however, the method of treatment for some serious disease through skin sweating has been partially lost. Through tests, it is found that some metabolic waste can be excreted from the skin for the purposes of disease removal, anti-disease, and healing of diseases. When the whole body hypothermia is used, plenty of sweat, blah, 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 blah. Now, I like to find stuff in the harder science. In other words, not the stuff written by your chiropractors and your nutritionists. Why? Well, that's because of you. You see, in the end, I know you're looking for the man in white. The scientist. And in a sense, that's not a bad idea. Isn't it nice to know something? Because science has its own contribution. So let's use it, but let's use it correctly. And here's the correct use of it. There's no two ways about it. You are excreting pounds of garbage each day through the skin if you do. Now, just for your own edification, okay, Clifford Pang there. Go to picture number 9. You can take a look at him. Picture 9. Picture 10. Professor Dr. Clifford L.K. Pang receiving his ICHS prize from the past president. These are guys in the think tank. They're not your typical guy you walk into, he gives you 15 minutes and you're out with a prescription. These guys are thinking. That's too easy for them, that other stuff. It's boring, and it is boring. These guys are thinking. And when they think, they write articles and books like he wrote. And that's for us to respect and take advantage of. That's why I put them on my show. You can take advantage of them. And rest assured, on your dark and stormy and lonely night, where you're certain you're going to die meaningless, and you're wallowing in your health and your betrayals, asking yourself whether it was all worth it, you can latch on to something like the Rock of Gibraltar, because science, good science, will tell you that if you do these things, you're going to have your miracle. And that's what we've all come here for, to experience God. That is a scientific statement. That's science. So, do I have your attention on the skin? Well, then consider this. Consider number 1, picture number 1, dry brushing. Did you know that your body eliminates up to 2 pounds of metabolic waste and toxins per day through the skin? Go get a Boar's Head Bristle Brush and look up on your own any one of a number of different protocols. Don't ask me which one is better than the other. Don't be a bean counter. Don't wallow through the details and lose the whole point of life. That's what people do. The anal retentive nature, it eats its way into everything we do. We miss the essences and the concepts and get lost counting the beans. The question becomes, dry brush the skin. To do all the things that Clifford says it will do, because it will promote elimination. So what we're doing here is we're creating another wing of your practice. Another part of your health practice should be dry brushing the skin. So that what? So that in fact, you can begin a process that should, hopefully, get you to the infrared sauna. Go to picture number 11. Now this is sunlighting. Burn 200 to 600 calories in a 30-minute session. I wish they'd take that off there. I don't care what science they've backed that with. That is a load of garbage. Sweat out more toxins than a traditional sauna. Well, again, let's say this. Infrared heat, full spectrum infrared heat, will penetrate more deeply. It will move more lymph. But you see, I'd love to see real good comparative studies to hot cold therapy in banya saunas. But that's not the point. The point is, for $1,000, $2,000, $4,000, the range on an infrared sauna, and again, so this is where we're going. You're dry brushing the skin. You've purchased an infrared sauna anywhere from the big one. I mean, look at picture number 13. Picture number 13. These are the full spectrum infrareds. Low EMF. You sit in those things, they'll take you up to 150, 160, 170. You sweat in those. Of course, do these under supervision, right? Do these gradually. Proceed at your own risk. Be scared. Something bad could happen if you take that little step towards your healing. Every time you investigate anything, you do it gradually. Anytime you investigate anything, you play with it. If you can, you do it under supervision or in conjunction with people that have done it before. You use your common sense and you be vigilant. And if you're vigilant, you'll always come out on the better side of things. If you're vigilant, if you use your common sense, you'll always come out on the better side of things. So, these infrared saunas, Sunlight makes a good one, Therasauna makes another good one. You can buy them as cheaply as picture number 14. That's the little cone. Some of you must, just because you're too fragile, have your head out. Matter of personal preference. Be comfortable when you do these things. But bring the infrared sauna in. So you're dry brushing the skin. You're using an infrared sauna. As opposed to a banya sauna. A banya sauna is when they take stone and they heat it. And that sauna you're looking at there, picture number 15, that sauna that you're looking at in picture 15, that sauna may go up to 200 degrees. That's got stones that are heated, sometimes through fire, sometimes through fire off gas, sometimes through fire off wood. But that sauna goes up to 210, 220, 230 degrees. A banya sauna is a dry sauna. Countries all over the world use these. Look at picture 16. Go to picture 16. Picture 16, there you see the oven. You actually see how the heat's being generated. There are rocks in that gas stove giving off that rock heat. And that rock heat in that wood environment, it's what we call banya. We've got them throughout Los Angeles. You've got Voda in West Hollywood. You've got a lot of these Korean saunas have banya saunas that approximate that 180, 200 degree range. And they make you sweat. And you're dry brushing your skin. Now there's a distinction in saunas. Both the infrared and the banya sauna will move the lymph. But whatever sauna you're using, an infrared or a banya sauna, which is better, don't even ask that question. The distinction between the two, rather the corollary to whether you're using either one, is to, if you can, dump yourself in cold. Now let's give you a subtlety on dumping yourself in cold, and let's give you a subtlety on saunas. Look at picture 17, 18, 19, and 20. Look at that. And 21. Better yet, 18, 19, 20, and 21. Look at those pictures. 18, 19, 20, 21. Where would you plant yourself if you were going to plant yourself in an ice bath? If you were going to an ice bath, which ice bath would you plant yourself in? 18 or 19 or 20 or 21? Now picture 21. Let's start there because that's the last place you want to be. Those are athletes after a game doing hypothermia. They should be doing hyperthermia. They should be going hot, cold, hot, cold to get the lymph flowing to take the lactic acid out of the intramuscular spaces. That's why they're doing that. Those are football guys. But what I want to bring to you and what you have to understand, especially if you want to do saunas or anything truly therapeutically, is those gentlemen, those athletes, are taking a step in the right direction. But look at that environment and then compare it to picture 18. Look at picture 18 and look at picture 21. Now just compare and contrast 18 to 21. And that's the point. If you need to, and you do need to, we all need to understand that the minute we do artificial simulations of what nature offers, every step we take away from nature is going to cost us efficiency. And we say we know that, but we don't. We don't really know it, because if we did, we wouldn't practice it the way we did. Anytime you do a detoxification, you want to put your feet in the earth, because you're really missing the point if you don't. There's no politically correct way of saying this. If you look at picture 18, that's an ice pool somewhere, probably in Iceland. You're not in Iceland, but we have cold streams. If we don't have cold streams, we have cold pools. Look at picture number 20. Look at picture 20. At least be outdoors. At least be outdoors so that when you have an energetic exchange of the body, when you go hot, cold, from the banya or the infrared into cold environments, if you can bring that experience to nature, you're going to have many times the effect. There are no two ways about that. The traditions that evolved out of nature made claims. And when we transpose those into techno society and wrap ourselves in cages of concrete and steel and perform those same procedures, we don't get the same results. Okay, so you can't do that. You think you can't do that. Well, lo and behold, if you think you can't do that, I'll tell you what you can do that you don't do, that you must do. Picture 22. Take a look at picture 22. That's somewhere in Laguna. And I'll guarantee you, there's no one on that beach all week. I will guarantee you that for a fact. And that's because, well, if you go to the local college track, no one's on the track. It doesn't seem, amidst all the moray with computer science, that we have any time left to take advantage of the nature that's right in front of us. And if you look at the tracks, if you look at the forests, if you look at the trails, if you look at the beaches, they're empty all the time. And that's amazing to me. Because we've created a culture that insists we don't have the time, and yet we have a culture that wants the result. Now, this you can do. If you live in Southern California, you can find clean, desolate beach. Take your body there in the early morning hours. It's free, usually. After you've done an infrared, or after you've come out of a sauna, or after you've even come out of the shower, and he has a knocker now, take this picture 23. Take the clay, the Medimagma clay. This is wonderful stuff. This is stuff, the clays, what the clays do, and we mentioned this a few shows ago, is they grab the telluric currents of the earth. They hold the frequencies that emanate from the center of the earth. They hold them in the clay. The clay is an exchange system. It's a diplomat. You have to think of clay as a diplomat. The clay holds the balance between the positive currents of the earth and bringing itself and holding the negative poisons. Clay is an astounding medium, a complicated medium. I know of nothing better than this Medimagna clay from Premier Research. At picture 24, peat magma, volcanic clay, asphaltum, kaolin clay, lapa, zeolite minerals. I mean, this is the stuff. It really is all-star stuff. The Medimagma clay from Premier Research Labs. Take it. Put it in a bowl, mix it into a mud, sit at that beach, any one of those beaches, in the early morning hours, rub it into the hands, rub it into the feet, and let it dry in the sun. And then take that great big step into the ocean, just into 2 feet of water, or 3 feet, or 4 feet. And rinse it off, and then sit on the sun for another 10 or 15 minutes and do your favorite stretches. I promise you, you're going to add that to your repertoire. Now, let's put this together. Let's put this together along the lines of someone that dry brushes the skin every day and that twice a week goes into an infrared sauna. And in the sauna, in your own infrared sauna, you put the clay on your body. Where do you put it on your body? Let me simply say that that's a matter of discretion from people who supervise where you put on the clay to play in the clay. Don't make it so complicated. Proceed gradually. Proceed intelligently. But get to the point where you use the clay on lots of your body to perform the purification that the clay is capable of. Only you're doing it in a sauna. Whether it's a steam sauna or a dry sauna or an infrared sauna, you're potentiating the effect of clay. So yes, yes, proceed cautiously. Proceed cautiously if you're very sick. Or don't do it at all. Do it under the supervision. Take your clays to your medical doctors and ask them to create the protocol. Or take it to your holistic doctors. But get into it, because you have to add this. That guy, Clifford Pang, didn't write that book because he's guessing. He wrote that book because he's certain. And this is where we underestimate the power of the skin. So we've got these saunas, and we've got these clays, and the clay in the sauna for 20 minutes twice a week, or the clay on the body at the beach, followed by sunshine, after you've dry brushed, and then you sit and you stretch and you pull your tendons. Now, there's going to be a massive release through the skin. And there's going to be a massive release of poison into the blood. Well, the skin takes care of itself because you're taking these poisons on the way out. So the skin's been basically engineered to handle this. But you see, once that poison's in the blood, it's got to get to the biliary system. And if you flush it through your biliary system, it gets to the intestines. Now, here's the catcher. If you go to picture number 26, if you go to picture 26, we can use clay again, a different type of clay, calcium bentonite, a special type. You can use that clay to capture what didn't get out the skin, but that got mobilized into the blood, and it's on its way out through the intestines. And you need to capture it, because if you don't capture it, a higher percentage of it will recirculate back into your blood. And you lose part of the detoxification. Now look at the beauty of that. Add that to your health repertoire. Add that to your health repertoire. And let's back up and look at it now. Here you've got a kidney. That if the kidney isn't cleansed, and that's another show, will concentrate its uric acid. It'll concentrate calcium oxalate. The renal tubules of the kidney will begin to sclerose. Once the renal tubules sclerose, it's more difficult to control blood pressure. And even if you don't have pathology in the kidney, you're going to have reflexes from an irritated kidney. That's to the ear, your tinnituses. As the cilia in the organ of Corti sclerose and fall off, you'll go deaf. The kidney is in relationship to the ear. The joints, particularly the knees, reflex to the kidney. And as the kidney stalls, the joints will increasingly depose uric acid and all the different crystals like calcium oxalate. So the joints will ache because the kidneys back up. The emotions go off. Your pHs, forget it. Your pHs drop into acidity. Your bladder gets irritated. Your bladder affections, the tendency for the pH through the urine. When the pH in the urine is off, if you're prone to bladder infections or prostatic infections, you'll see an increasing frequency. Once the kidney's irritated, all hell breaks loose in the body. It does too many things. And yet there's this skin clamoring and asking for help, asking to help. But you don't sweat. But you don't dry brush. And then you do. And then each and every day, with a boar's head bristle brush, depending on whose protocol you want, you brush that skin. Circular. up to down, down to up. Do what feels good. All over the body, 10, 15 minutes until your skin is pink and rosy. And then you jump into your infrared sauna. And before you jump into it, you put the clay on, the magma clay, your hands, your feet. Maybe you add that to your kidneys then. Maybe you put it on your neck. Maybe you put it on your whole body. You play with it. You investigate it. For 2 minutes in a sauna. For 5 minutes in a sauna. For 10, for 15 minutes in a sauna. Until it begins to dry. Until you've had your take of it. And you'll know when you're done. You'll know when you're done because you listen to your body, your being. But generally, you're looking at 5 to 10 to 15 minutes. And then it's time for the cold shower, or better yet, for the ice pool. Or better yet, for the icy stream. Or the icy ocean. And then there's the post-sauna exercise. The stretching. The twisting. The massage. Done where? Ideally, done at a place that concentrates the telluric currents. Better done on a ley line. Better done at the foot of the Sphinx. Better done at Mount Shasta. Better done at places where they otherwise would have built temples. Do it in nature. We have vortexes all over Southern California. Ojai is a vortex. Laguna is a vortex. You've got places that concentrate God's energy. And if you can, and if you must, you create your health ritual in conjunction with pure nature. Understanding that if you have to settle, you settle. But understanding that you are settling, and don't think that you can wrap yourself in high-heighted concrete and steel beams and get the same effect. And this is the point. Now, if you add that to the colon cleanses, if you add that to the kidney cleanses per se, all the herbs that dissolve calcium oxalate, uva ursi, gravel root, dandelion, any reasonable detoxification herbally through herbal cleanses to the kidney, drinking potato juice regularly, and you bring that to the skin, what a tool you have. And if you bring that to biliary patency, and if you bring that to colon cleanses, and if you bring that to fasting, if you bring that through the emotional purgatives, when you get into these things, you see, this is the irony. A guy like Clifford Pang writes the book Hyperthermia in Oncology. I will guarantee you that Pang uses hyperthermia as one tool, that he would never think purely in terms of hyperthermia as the sole way you go after cancer. That would be absurd. But here's what he would tell you. Here's what I will tell you. Somewhere along the line, these purgatives will bring up your psyche. You will find yourself obliged to release the toxic emotional garbage that you're holding. And across that line, across the release of these things, preferably done out in nature, preferably done under the eyes of God, preferably done not in the vaults we've created in modern day society that we call dwellings. On the other side of that, the body will start to go into a very different physiology. And it's a physiology science just scratches on the surface of, because we don't have enough studies. The parody of holistic medicine is that it actually creates a healing too seldom, because we have compliance issues. And when hard science studies it, it doesn't understand that they have to use an integrated sense. You can never take one piece out of a healing and study it, double-blind placebo, and expect it to really be impressive. The body's not engineered that way, and the scientists don't understand that. But you do. And that's the beauty of getting educated. That's the beauty of what you do. You who listen to this show and shows like this, really, you are the harbingers of another age. If you study science, always, any therapy, any paradigm, as it emerges into what will someday become hard science, begins as nothing but quackery. And what you're seeing with holistic medicine today and all these different wings of it, from infrared saunas to gallbladder flushes to kidney flushes to using medicinal clays, so on and so forth, the attack on these things is simply a culture in transition. And you have to meditate with that if you're sick, because you will be challenged. You will be obliged to become afraid of your own journey and succumb. And education, more than blind faith, education is what saves you. That's why I do this show. As always, if you're lost in the melee of healing and you need guidance, direction, precision with therapy, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. Doesn't matter what your health concern is. What matters is, do you have enough fortitude to make the journey? 714-850-1007. Hope you've enjoyed the show. Hope you're integrating. Listen to the last two shows in addition to this one. Put those together and have a nice week. Bye.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.